You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario since 1922. Find and follow us on Instagram at CFRC Music. Coming up on this special community takeover of our airwaves, we're talking to Sam McLeod, General Manager of the Spire. Spire, located at 82 Sydenham Street, is a historic Kingston landmark with over 170 years of history. It has become a vibrant community hub for arts and nonprofit groups, housing more than 20 community and cultural groups, and serves as one of Kingston's best large performance venues. The Spire is one of the participants in this year's Next Great Save competition, aiming to replace their aging heating infrastructure with efficient heat pumps and renewable technology to cut emissions. Public voting is open until April 24th, 2026. You're listening to CFRC 101.9, and in the studio with me right now, I have Sam, who is the general manager of The Spire.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Welcome back to CFRC Studios, bit of a popular person here at the station.
That's really nice.
Sam, you're here to talk about an initiative that The Spire has going on right now. It's a bit time sensitive, so we'll obviously hop into that, but I wonder if, to start, you can give listeners a sense of what is The Spire?
Yeah, well, it's a good question because it can be confusing because it's so many things kind of all at the same time. But essentially, it's a community hub, social services, arts, culture. You know, at every moment, we have so many different things going on all at the same time. We have offices for community positive organizations and things. So, yeah, it's just a mishmash of community stuff.
And the Spire didn't start out as this community hub, however. It has a pretty long history. It was originally a church.
Yep.
Still functions as that as well.
Saturday mornings, yeah. It's a church. It's a Buddhist center. Also meditation Saturday mornings. I think Thursday evenings. And we have Rainbow Sabbath, which is kind of this grouping of different religious or faith groups from around the city who are interested in developing LGBTQ plus sort of initiatives. We do Baha'i feasts. We have Hindu events. Like, it's very multi-faith. But there is the Sydenham Street United Church on Sunday mornings.
And how old is the Spire? This is pertinent to what we're going to be talking about.
174 years old. So it was first a fairground. And then John Counter is in the street, donated it to the Methodist Church. They built a church. It wasn't big enough, and it might have burnt down. I can't remember. And then that wasn't big enough, so they blew out the walls and kind of added on to it. So since 174 years ago, I don't know, was that like 1852? It's been going on, you know, as a church. The Methodists combined with another religious organization and became the United Church, and then it's been the United Church since then.
Okay. And when did it switch from that to the Spire?
Yeah, so about maybe 12 years ago, people in the congregation of the church realized with a dwindling, you know, they used to put like 1,000 people into the performance hall. Now the Sydenham Street United Church is still healthy, but it's around maybe 60, 80 people. And they realized that's not really enough to upkeep this old building. So they opened it up to the community. The Spire was born, which is this, it's really an organization that's many community people who've come in. They've created actually a separate charity called Friends of the Spire that's to help keep the building going and things. So they combine with some people from the Sydenham Street United Church with just local community members interested in keeping the space alive. And this kind of committee has authority to manage the space through some complex, like an MOU type thing. And that's what the Spire is. It's like this group that manages the facility.
Okay. And what is your role?
And I'm the manager. So I'm the staff member, one of the staff members that group oversees. And my job is to activate the space, you know, keep it loved, keep it up, keep it warm, keep inviting people in and things like that. So that's kind of what I do day to day.
And there's been a tremendous amount of work done to the Spire over the past 12 years since it has sort of expanded its, I guess, portfolio of what it's offering, but a lot of work still to be done. And I think that's sort of what we want to focus our conversation on today, because the Spire is in a competition right now. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So just like you say, like lots of work. Like 12 years ago, I went there for a class of some sort, a very church basement-y, orange, shag, wainscoting. So when they decided to make this place the Spire, this group of volunteers went in, redid everything. They put probably maybe $500,000, elevator, ramps, made it really accessible, wheelchair accessible washrooms, those sorts of things, you know, to get people to come in and to get everybody. So everybody. But, you know, that got it so far. They built offices and things, which was great. We recently have put in a big sound system, a lighting system. I made it a turnkey space for promoters, for bands, local bands, bands traveling across Ontario. You know, we've got Billy Bragg this year. We've got Bahamas. We've got Half Moon Run coming in, which is amazing, with Flying V. So we've made it this turnkey space, and we're still working on that. You know, the big thing that we did this year so far is we put in cushions in all the seats, because our Google reviews would be like, oh, it was a great concert, my butt hurts. You know, I had a great time, sat on wood. So we fixed that, and we've got these great big cushions in now. And we're keeping going. So we are putting in a screen and stuff like that. But there's also the fundamentals of the building, which is the heating system. It's not as exciting, but it's really important, because people want to be warm in the winter, cool in the summer. And we did have our heating system explode in October, which is a big steam boiler down in the basement. So we did some patchwork on it. It's going to probably buy us 5 years, but we've got to kind of get smart and put in a heat pump system, get away from carbon. And the nice thing with heat pump is it brings in cooling as well. So we're in this competition right now. If we win, we can get $50,000. Right now we're running at like a steady second place, and that's probably where, if we really keep the push on, we'll finish. But that's $10,000, and that is really meaningful for us. So that's what we're hoping people will come out and vote. People can vote every day, and it's this next great save competition. They can find it on their website, our website, and their website.
And is this your first time with Aspire applying for something with Next Great Save?
Yeah, so it was an application process. There was a bit of vetting. So we were part of 12 finalists that got accepted. Yeah, and it's been since maybe we started a week ago, and we've got till April 24th. We're just pushing voting on this. But yeah, it's a marathon, this thing.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. But to be in second place, your first time applying, is not a bad place to be. But of course, you'd love to see first place. And I mean, obviously, heating, it's unglamorous, but it's very essential. Weather is becoming more unpredictable. What would it mean for you to have that stability and to get to a carbon neutral place?
Yeah, so we think of ourselves as stewards of this building. The whole purpose of really my job is to sustain it, grow it, but also pass it on to future generations. So that's what I'm working towards right now. And you know, the heating system we have, it's a steam boiler, which is like industrial revolution kind of tech. It's heavy on carbon, which is terrible. So we want to get that out. But one of the problems is, and this may be too technical, but the piping through the building won't work with a water boiler system. So we have to change all that. So we don't want to do that. We want to get the heat pump system in, get people warm, but also cool. So in our upper hall, we have the Embassy Cafe, which is by Lionhearts, which once a week we pay a local musician. They come in, they perform to people in rehab programs, shelters, no alcohol, no triggers type thing. But it gets too hot in there in the summer. There's also sword fighting in that room. There's two AA groups. There's seniors dance right now. We have a seniors arts group in. Kaluta, the Buddhist Center, uses the space. And on and on and on. Choirs. We have three choirs that use the space weekly. Orchestras, etc. So, but it becomes too hot in the summer. So with a heat pump, we'd be able to cool it down, which means we'd be opening up a community space essentially 3-4 months a year that isn't open right now just because it's too hot. So that would be really great. But also just, you know, more comfort in the facility, less cost going into heating, which means we can put it more into community groups, lowering costs, etc. And just being part of the community, decarbonizing, being part of the global community, you know, decarbonizing, which is also very important for us.
And does the Spire act as a warming center sometimes in the winter as well?
So we have a food services program. Okay. So that's actually going on right now as well. Right. So people can come in, we give food vouchers out, and there's, I think, 100 people, 125 people that rely on that every month. And we give people who maybe just come in kind of once a year or once a month, depending, food voucher programs. So, you know, keeping that going is really important. That's been going since the 80s. And that's just one level of service that we have. We also run something called the Helen Tufts program, which is for youth, and we team Queen's students who are in the Con Ed program with young people who maybe need support. We bring them in twice a week, taxi them in. They sort of do tutoring and play games with Queen's students. We offer a meal that we cook, you know, I think usually like lasagna or pizzas or something, or try to keep it healthy, like salads. So yes, we offer all of these kind of no-cost community support programs. And, you know, again, the Embassy would count towards that as well. And the Embassy is a warming space for sure, particularly in the winter. And it's like 3 hours. You get pizza, you get pop, chips, you know, sit, listen to some local music. It's awesome.
You might on the surface think, oh, the Spire, that's like where there's a church service or that's where music is played. But you're really showing that demographically, you really are here for the whole community.
Oh, yeah. We also have Our Livable Solutions in the space, which works towards housing people around the city and mobile kind of housing that they have. And there's a number of different organizations that are actually like that, that use our space. Yeah, so it's interesting because I think a lot of people, to your point, see the Spire in maybe one or two ways. You know, concert hall, church, Buddha Center, concert hall. And concert hall comes up a lot because that's what a lot of the advertising, you know, you see it through the city and posters and things. But, you know, that's one aspect. We are totally focused and driven on community positive activities. So arts is community positive. Like, it's great to have artists. It's important to have artists. You need them. But it's also, you need people to have food. You need people to have a place to go. You need people just coming together to be together for that own sake. You know, our seniors programs, you know, people coming in and just dancing together, singing together. Choirs is a good example, right? It's where we connect. And, you know, like a lot of our connections these days, and this is getting too philosophical, but a lot of our connections these days are done online and they can become impersonable. So bringing people together just to make that human-to-human connection, I think, develops empathy and does a whole bunch of different stuff. And also just loneliness and things like that, you know. So that's really our focus. Like, if you really compacted it down, it's just bringing people together. And yeah, and that's the purpose. And that's what we want to pass on as well.
Right. And absolutely, I think the idea of isolation being a crisis really came to fore in COVID. But post-COVID, those issues are still the same, and sometimes it's about accessibility, affordability. So you have a space here that is fully accessible, and I would imagine that heating and cooling, you know, not what you might immediately think of, but that is a barrier to people if they are compromised in their health in some way. And so you really are doing this in a way that removes another barrier to access, right?
100%. It's so interesting, you know, even with our cushions, right? Like, our cushions, you know, you come in, you're like, they're nice, you know, they look nice, they feel nice. But where it really came out of was a woman who had osteoporosis came to me and was like, I love going to Cantabile, but I can't sit on those seats. Is there anything you can do? And that kind of, it was like, okay, well, we should get cushions in. You know, it kind of spiraled from that. So a lot of what can seem as aesthetic or, I don't know, like speaker system, for example. Well, that helps people hear better. Do you know, our assisted listening system obviously helps people. But lighting, like a lot of the stuff is accessibility, right? Getting people comfortable in the space, able to come into the space and feel like the space will work for them, you know, wants them there, is really important. And heating and cooling is supreme in that, right? Like, you know, when our heating system went down, it was freezing. We had a couple concerts where people were freezing. And that's terrible, right? If people have maybe blood pressure problems or some other kind of health issues where they get cold quicker than maybe other people, that's a real concern. So it's a huge concern for us.
Well, and I can't imagine, I mean, a stone building, I'm sure the insulation in there is not fantastic. Yeah. What does it cost now for you to heat that building?
So it's interesting. It's about $35,000 a year. So it's not insignificant for us. Do you know, a heat pump, we actually have an energy study going on right now with an engineer out of Queens. And yeah, we're finding, you know, we can bring that way down. So, and again, our costs, like, we're a not-for-profit, we're a charity. We don't distribute that savings to stakeholders or something. Like, nobody takes that home. It just goes into the facility. And our whole goal with a lot of our spaces is to keep costs as low as possible to make it as accessible as possible for small groups and things like that. So, you know, that savings goes back into those groups' operations. And it's the same with our concerts, do you know? We have a Billy Bragg concert, for instance, that's sold out. Big, big name, can't wait. I'm not sure if I'll get in. But that revenue that maybe we're selling alcohol or we're selling candy or whatever we're selling, you know, that revenue goes back into supporting those service programs. So everything kind of works together, you know, with, yeah, really bringing people together and accessibility at the heart.
Okay. So if people are listing right now and they're like, okay, I'm in, I want to vote, where do they go?
So they can go to the nextgreatsave.ca and they'll see like a list of different places, all great. We hope they pick the Spire. You can click vote under the Spire and then it will, you enter your email address, it sends an email to you, you click confirm and boom, you're voted. And they can vote every day, people out there, I hope you consider it, please. They can vote every day until the 24th and they announce the winner, I think, on the 24th or the 25th. They can also go to the Spire's website, thespirekingston.org, and right on our front page, there's kind of a link through. You just click on it. It says click here, and you can vote that way.
I've actually seen a lot of social media posts in the last couple of days saying, I'm voting every day. So obviously a lot of community enthusiasm. If people want to help further than just voting, are there ways that they can donate to the Spire or help volunteer? How can they get involved?
We're always looking for more ushers. We have one of the most beautiful things that's kind of understated is we've built this usher team and they become this real true community. They'll go do other events. Like, they take ownership over ushering. They want people to be comfy and feel welcomed and things like that. So we're always looking for ushers to join that usher team. We have fixers who just come in and like fix things around the building. If anyone's interested, or, you know, we have a lot of different stuff. If anyone's interested, interested, they can always email me. I'm at generalmanager@thespirekingston.org. You can go to our website. There's like a contact. We probably have 200 volunteers kind of on a weekly basis doing different things through the facility. Yeah. And like you say, it's well loved. You know, there's a lot of people who have gotten married there, or we had just this past weekend on a Saturday morning, a gentleman set up this like scavenger hunt through the city that ended in the spire in the main hall, and kind of did a proposal to his fiance. There's a lot of memories that are really positive of people through the city. So I think people really care about it, which is nice.
If people want to follow along and see where you're at, does the spire have a newsletter, or is it best to just follow your social media?
We have a newsletter. You can go onto our homepage. You can sign up right there, and then you will get an email from us weekly, or usually bi-weekly, that says all the different concerts we have coming up. We've got some great stuff coming up. We've got the Hobbit Opera, which is Cantabile. They're teching right now. They're just building this massive set in the performance hall, and they go on, I think the first show is next week, maybe Thursday or something. You can go on our website, go on our events section, see what's going on. But then we've got so many shows. We've got Candlelight. We put like 3,000 candles in the space. They're LED. So
we don't burn it out. What's the insurance?
I know. You know what? I brought it up at a board meeting. I'm like, we're putting out 3,000 candles, and everyone's like, you're doing what? You know, and I go, no, they're LED. They're LED. It's kind of a vibe check. So there, you can see all our events, and we've constantly got stuff. We just had 3 concerts last weekend. Again, the opera, which is teching this weekend, but and on and on and on and on. And a lot of it's community stuff, right? Like Kingston Choral Society, Orchestra Kingston, Voices Rock. It's nice. We've done some emerging artist stuff too with local bands. Very enthusiastic about our local music scene, and we're working kind of with Flying V to develop that. But yeah, lots of different stuff. So if anyone's out there and they're like, I have a very, very specific taste, check out our site, because there's probably something that you would enjoy.
I should note that all of the music that you've been hearing through today's episode has been handpicked by Sam and represents just, I think, a bit of a cross-section of local artists that you might have heard or might have the opportunity to hear at the Spire.
We have so many amazing local artists, the Codas, Tiny Horse, Miss Emily, on and on and on. Piner, I listen to Piner like every day, you know, like so many that I really hope the rest of Canada gets to experience. I'm so grateful to be able to put a playlist together here, because it all excites me so much.
Well, I wish you the best of luck with this campaign. So once again, it's
NextGreatSave.
NextGreatSave.ca. Check out the website. You can check out the Spire's website. Vote early, vote often. As Sam mentions, they're currently in second place, but there's still 9 days by the time this airs of voting left. So lots of opportunities for you to help support this organization. Sam, it's been a pleasure. Do you have any final words, comments?
No, you know, just, yeah, check out something at the Spire if you can. Like, it's a beautiful space. You know, it's interesting. It is still a church on Sunday mornings, but the people in this church are so forward-thinking. It was the first affirming ministry, I think, in Canada, something like 25 years ago. You know, they painted the steps rainbow. Like, the people at the church want people in. Do you know the people in the Buddhist Center want people in? Like, everybody is pulling for it to be a community venue, and it is a heritage space. I think when it was built, it was the tallest building in Canada or something like that. Do you know the Queen visited? Like, it's been well-loved and well-visited for years and years. And again, we really want to pass it along. We inherit so much. You know, we inherit these buildings. We inherit this beautiful place like Queens. Do you know, we really want to pass that on to next generation. So I hope people will vote for us and, you know, come find a community at the Spire, because there's lots there.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Sign up now to take over CFRC's airwaves yourself. CFRC 101.9 FM invites all Queen's University student groups and Kingston community organizations to take over our airwaves. Join us on air for an hour to talk about your student group or community organization, and also present your own playlist of fun music chosen by your team. This is a great opportunity to talk about what your group does, how others can get involved or provide support, any big events your group has coming up, and how to keep up with the latest news about your group. Apply by visiting cfrc.ca/contact and selecting Apply for a Club Community Takeover. This project is made possible through the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Radio Meters program.